Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
The views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information that I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. No, no, no. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to www.drcarly.com. and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease and cancer to teach people how to reverse these problems with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on history alone. You do not have to come to North Carolina to see me. Please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults. I ask each of you to consider the information that I and my guests give using your own God-given common sense and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in toll-free at 877-270-8714 in the United States or 888-228-4494 in Canada. These numbers are also on the bbsradio.com website. It's fine if you only use your first name, and all shows are archived. Every week, I will answer the question, What Ails America, with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, that alternative medicine is the only alternative, etc., etc., together we will be able to stop the Holocaust on the health of people and pets. If you do not stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. And on tonight's show, we're actually going to do one of our upbeat shows because I like to mix the What's Ailing America with What's Healing America. So on tonight's show, we're going to be answering the question, What Heals America, with the answer herbs, with my special guest, Master Herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I'm going to give you her bio right now. But before I do, I just wanted to inform the listeners. On last week's show with Dr. Bill Deagle, I was actually speaking to you from Maine. The night before, I was qualified as an expert in vaccine-induced diseases in a court situation where a child was taken away from a mother because she questioned the white coat as to whether or not the inoculations caused the seizure that her daughter experienced, and of course they labeled her mentally ill and put her child in foster care. All I can tell you folks is that God was there, and it's very funny how it all worked out. As a matter of fact, this was the first time I was qualified as an expert after I had no medical license, and when the persecutor asked me if I was licensed in any state, my response was, no, that would be a conflict of interest for one who took their oath to first do no harm seriously, because to have a license, I would have to propagate this vaccine bull, and therefore, I could not do so because that was a conflict of interest. So it was a beautiful day, folks, and it all went divinely, and unless this court is totally corrupt, this mother will be getting her daughter back, and she will be a guest on the show in the future. I happen to feel very strongly that the judge is going to have to do the right thing because as I looked into her eyes, I could tell she's got a few vaccine damaged grandchildren herself. So we'll keep you up to date on that. And this was a very big thing for me to help others in the future. The license matters not. I am a scientific researcher in vaccine-induced diseases. And if you go to my website, drcarly.com, you will now find, actually on my website, a package insert from the Defensor 3 rabies vaccine, where it actually states under the safety and efficacy section that the rabies vaccine, due to tissues cultured, tissues that the viruses are cultured on, that this vaccine causes autoimmune disease. So the information proving I'm right is coming out of the woodwork, and I will be having as my special guest again on October 6th, Dr. Patricia Jordan, the veterinarian who is to pets what I am to people in terms of the vaccine holocaust, and we will be discussing this some more. And actually, as it turns out, Wendy's dog, Doc, had a rabies vaccine and developed some consequences, and he's undergoing the protocol. But first, let me introduce you to Wendy, because she is the person that I turn to when I need to find herbal solutions, because there's so many wonderful things out there, and we have to all join together and teach each other what we know. And as a matter of fact, my dog and my two cats are wearing Wendy's herbal collars. She's come up with some collars for pets to deflect ticks and fleas and things of that nature. And not only does it do that, but they smell nicer than they've ever smelled. So I'm very grateful to Wendy for that. When I pick them up, it's like you take a deep breath and you're getting a, you know, an herbal treatment just from their collars. Anyways, Wendy Wilson is a vitalist. To be more precise, she's an herbalist. She believes in the original medicine to balance and restore the body. For more than a decade, Wendy has studied and enlightened people to the healing power of herbs and natural therapies. She's a graduate of the University of North Carolina in Charlotte, a mother of three children, and a student of the martial arts. All right. And an herbalist for Apothecary Herbs located in Huntersville, North Carolina. After college, she worked for a while in the medical field as a physician's personal assistant, and she became aware of the healing power of herbs and natural therapies when her infant son became seriously ill and modern medicine had no solution. Can I ever relate to that? Wendy turned to a natural healer for help, and her child made a full recovery due to this quackery. And Wendy's journey towards becoming an herbalist began. She enrolled at the School of Natural Healing in Springville, Utah, in the Master Herbalist Program. In 1999, she wrote a book called The Power Herbs, 13 Herbs Every Medicine Cabinet Should Have. She wanted to reveal the herb secrets she had learned from her traditional training and practical experience. There is a high demand for knowledge on how to use herbs and natural therapies effectively, and the Power Herbs book shows you how. Because as I jokingly said, you know, herbs being quackery, of course the medical mafia calls anything that heals you quackery, because all they do is give drugs which cover up the symptoms, hopefully, and cure nothing. And of course they're giving you all their side effects in the meantime. In 2000, Wendy founded the Apothecary Herbs Incorporated, which manufactures professional strength, immune-boosting, and body-cleansing formulas. She finds her work very rewarding, as do I, because it's amazing what happens once you actually help people. She actually writes health columns for various newsletters, including International Forecaster and HealthQuest, and has nationally syndicated talk radio shows called Herb Talk Live on GCN, and that's Genesis Communication Network, as well as theamericanvoice.com, and I'm her monthly guest on both of those networks, and she also has a show on shortwave frequency 7.415 on WBCQ. Okay, Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Carly. I appreciate the opportunity to share whatever it is that we have, golden nuggets of information, with your listeners. This is an honor, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, as you know, you are the one that I turn to whenever I need to get any herbal information. You see, you know, it's impossible to know everything.
Right.
And I've realized, you know, I know a lot about supplements and homeopathy, and things along that nature, energy, technology, Tesla-type machines, things of that nature. But as far as herbs go, I decided to leave that up to you because you can't know everything. And as long as I know somebody that I can trust that's got the info and the training and knows what they're doing, then I feel comfortable that I can, you know, suggest that my clients who want to supplement their protocols with herbs and learn more about herbs to go to you. Because, of course, in this world in which we live, there's so many things that they're doing to us that you can't have enough natural things at the ready to help you. As a matter of fact, on next week's show, I'm going to go into this in more detail, but I had talked to Wendy off the air about this. I was very disturbed to find out in my local Charlotte Observer on September 17th that North Carolina is one of five states who is actually vying to get a level 4 biowarfare lab here 25 miles north of Raleigh, North Carolina. Basically, they're moving Plum Island to North Carolina or one of the other states that's competing for this, you know, opportunity for job growth. And this is so sickening to me, but people have to realize that with everything that's going on between the chemtrails and the vaccinations and the water, you know, different things that are going on in the water, I hope to have a guest on in regards to the water very shortly. There's so many things that the prostitutes in the district of criminals are allowing to be done to us so that they can get dollars stuffed into their back pocket. There is not enough you can possibly do to keep yourself well. You have to educate yourself as to what to avoid, and you also have to learn what things you can do in order to keep yourself well. And herbs are very good. So please take it away, Wendy.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you just said. And another thing that you point out when we talk on the air frequently is, you know, people shouldn't be afraid. They shouldn't be afraid, and
right.
You're very right about that. They have power, and I encourage people to take that power back.
Yes.
And one of the main things that I usually tell people to ask themselves whenever they evaluate a therapy recommendation, whether it's from their physician or their homeopathic physician or their herbalist, always ask, you know, is this going to strengthen my body?
Yeah.
And when your body comes stronger, then you're actually achieving a healing. Things that make you dependent, those are crutches, and that's not the kind of healing that I would prefer for myself or my family, so I don't like promoting those types of things.
Right.
So it's all about strength. Ask yourself if it's going to strengthen you, and if that's going to be the key, then that's what you're going to shoot for, and you will be amazed what you can do.
Well, not only are those drugs a crutch, but they also have side effects.
True.
And it's truly amazing to me as I do consults for clients all over the world, and especially in the United States. I mean, people are on so many drugs, it's unbelievable. And as they give me their list of symptoms and their list of drugs they're taking, I spend hours and I go through the physician's desk reference, and I find all the symptoms that they're suffering from, which are side effects from the drugs. And it never fails that as we wean them off the drugs, they get miraculously better, and then once you start adding some natural things into the mix, it's just amazing how their health skyrockets. And this is what wakes them up on an individual level, and I just want to underline what you said again because it's so important. Much of the information that I give on this show is very scary, especially the show that I did last week with Dr. Bill Deagle, who actually worked for some of the Black Ops operations. He knows what they're doing, and he talked about the inoculations as weapons of genocide. Of course, that's the title of my paper. I've known for a long time that that's what's happening. But this is not intended to scare you. This is intended to wake you up and make you realize when the government comes to you and says, we want to help you, that's when you run in the other direction. And I don't care if it's in terms of services they're going to offer, because there's always some kind of a stipulation, some hoop you have to jump through, like especially with children, they're going to give you services, but you always have to get the children vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to give you food stamps. And what is those food stamps going to buy you? Velveeta cheese made out of prions and all kinds of other stuff. You know, it's time for people to stop looking for a handout from the government, because the handout is always associated with death. That is their ultimate agenda. They're decreasing the population. And the evidence for this is just too enormous to even go into. But in terms of herbs, I want to just recommend all of you go to Wendy's site, thepowerherbs.com. She has wonderful packages, different types of detoxification, herbs that you can get, and herbs to deal with different problems. As a matter of fact, I recommend many of my clients, especially those with diabetes, to get her herbs as well, because anything that you can do to help to offset, you know, the problem that you're encountering is only going to help you. And if you could just tell us, Wendy, one thing I definitely wanted you to cover on the show tonight is the 9 questions that people need to know about herbs.
Oh, sure. We basically put together a 9-question sheet, which will help anyone who wants to evaluate supplements out there, any kind of therapy, because really these are questions that every supplement manufacturer wished you didn't know, because it's all about not only starting with a great ingredient or an herb, it's what they do after that to make the product that's really going to contribute to a healing for you or to no healing. So that's how we would like people to become savvy consumers out there, weed through some of that marketing hype. Because although the FDA has all these label regulations on products and supplements, sometimes those restrictions can cause what I call consumer blindness. And because the manufacturer is not able to explain a lot of how the herb action works and helps you, because, you know, then you're making claims,
right.
FDA doesn't like that. So basically you get a lot of sketchy information, a lot of ambiguous generalities, and people like go, well, I'm kind of lost. And, you know, when they go to the health food store to select stuff, they're kind of stuck asking the clerk, and the clerk may or may not know. And then the owner of the store is probably just responding to an ad in their, you know, their wholesale catalog, so they probably don't know. So the consumer is stuck to do a lot of research on their own and to read books and kind of weed through a lot of marketing hype. So this helps them cut to the chase a little bit. And one of the first things on the list is you want to see if the ingredients are really organic, because a lot of things are synthetic out there, as you know, Dr. Carly.
Yes.
Petrochemicals, we don't want none of that.
Right.
We want something real and organic. And understanding the levels of organic, licensing or evaluation is important, because they keep lowering the bar on what constitutes certified organic out there. So these are questions you can actually call up and ask the manufacturer, because on every bottle, FDA requires contact information, whether it's a phone number or an address of either the distributor of the product or the manufacturer of the product. And you can call up and ask for, quality control department, and you can run down these questions. And we give you the answers you should be getting so that you can kind of check off, you know, are you hearing the right stuff?
Yeah.
So one of the things is certified organic. You got to start with either certified organic herb or something grown while crafted. And the difference is while crafted is something that is just harvested out there in the wild. And it's just like the organic crops. They're not supposed to be treated with a bunch of chemicals like the pesticides, the herbicides, the fertilizer, ethylene oxide gas, and all that stuff. And it's also understood that if an ingredient says while crafted, that those herbs should not be harvested near landfills or highways with a lot of, you know, carbon monoxide and all that. So certified organic or wild crafted is what you should be looking for. And if you're trying to weed through the organic levels, they're TILT standards, certified organic grown to TILT standards. That's TILTH. It's going to be your highest level of organic farming, and California was the state that began that level of farming. And what that means is that the farmer who produced the crop, the herb, it was grown on land that it rested for at least 5 years and wasn't treated with chemicals. So that's the highest standard you can get in an organic source.
And I want to underline what you just said, Wendy, because These corrupt alphabet agencies, as you said, are constantly changing the definition of organic.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now actually trying to allow there to be a certain percentage of pesticide exposure or decreasing the number of years that the land has to be not exposed to pesticides. They don't have our best interests at heart. And another thing that I will also mention, what I've learned from England is that one of the ways that they're adulterating herbs is that they're radiating them, because they know that if they radiate them, they won't be as effective because they're basically, you know, nuking them. So these are all things that you have to ask hard questions about in order to make sure that you're getting herbs of high quality. And as far as I'm concerned, the best protection that you can get is to buy your herbs from an herbalist like Wendy, who has ethics, who is doing this because, for the same reason that I'm doing what I'm doing, because she wants to help people. She is not corruptible. She cannot be bought out. And she's not going to allow you to get herbs that have been adulterated in any way. And maybe you could tell the listeners, Wendy, some of the things that you do to make sure that the herbs that you purchase to make your remedies are of high quality standards.
Right. Well, basically, we're a little anal retentive when it comes to this area. We demand the grown-to-tilth standards. And just to give your listeners an idea, when you buy bulk herbs grown to tilth standards, you're going to pay about $20 a pound or more. And those manufacturers out there that don't purchase herbs of that quality, they can get a lot of inexpensive herbs overseas, and this is part of our nine-question sheet. We're going to get to that. But they can buy inexpensive herbs for like 25 cents a pound over there to make the products that they sell to you. And there's a huge difference in quality, and we're going to talk about the areas of the globe where you just don't want to get herbs at all, and kind of protect your health that way, because when they use a lot of chemicals over here, a lot of EPA kind of outlaws them, and then they send them overseas and they use them over there. So then you got these chemicals that are very detrimental to your central nervous system. They got carcinogenic activity in them. So you want to make sure that, you know, it's your body, it's your health, and you're worth, you know, the very best. And so we want you to get the very best. So we always insist on the grown-to-tilth standards. We'll pay the extra money, because when those herbs come to us, they are the best herbs I've ever seen. They are clean. They don't have pests in them. They are just full of aroma. And you can just stack it up next to a substandard bunch of herbs and see the difference. The substandard stuff looks pretty dead and wilted and dehydrated and abused. So basically, you can't go wrong if you insist on the tilth standards.
Okay.
And one of the other things that we say, we were talking about overseas, and basically, whenever a manufacturer imports bulk herbs for their products from overseas, they come in on the dock, and our Department of Agriculture sprays and irradiates them, okay, because it's required.
Right.
And the reason it's required is a lot of the stuff coming from overseas has not only bugs in it, but it also has pesticides and other things, and it has E. coli on them. So that's the main reason the Department of Agriculture will spray and irradiate that stuff, because there's a lot of E. coli on it.
Well, that's the reason they give it as excuse, why they're radiating it. But of course, if they were really concerned, they would not accept herbs from countries that had E. coli on them. They would just reject that and send it back to sender, and then they would not have to irradiate their herbs, because don't you agree? I mean, irradiating herbs, it's doing the same thing to the herbs that it does to any other supplement.
Well, and it's the same reason, you know, in the cattle industry with the beef. You know, they just don't have enough inspectors for the quality of the beef. And I did a show where there was a chemist, a doctor from England, who came over when mad cow was in full force over in England, and they hired him over here to come inspect our meat industry so we can sidestep a lot of the problems England was having. And he was showing them what they needed to do to protect the cattle from having E. coli and mad cow and everything, and his recommendations would have added a whole 10 cents a pound at the grocery checkout. And instead, our government decided, instead of taking all those steps, because it basically our meat packing industry is pretty lazy and they don't want to do those things. You know, they don't want to haul in fresh grass and hay. They want to stall the cows instead of let them graze. So I mean, it's quantity over quality, and so they opted to irradiate the beef instead. You get that?
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
Well, let me
try to shock me. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it can't shock you, I don't think.
Well.
But basically, some of the areas to avoid getting your herbs from would be China, Eastern Europe, Egypt, Mexico, and Spain. A lot of these areas will actually have herb farms next to runoff areas, nuclear power plants, and you name it. So I would sidestep that all together.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there is the possibility that you might be purchasing a product that's already in finished form. It's already a capsule or a tablet, and it has come from overseas. Again, you want to actually go through and ask them, where did they get their herbs? How did they process them? And as we go down the list, you're going to learn how it is important to realize how important the processing of the herb is for your overall health. And so I would avoid all imported overseas supplements altogether if I were you.
Well, that's the beauty of ordering herbs for you, because you've already done the homework.
Well, yeah, I'm only doing this like 15 years.
Yeah. So I wouldn't even attempt to order herbs from overseas, even if I knew what herbs I would, you know, want to get for whatever situation I was getting them for. And that's why it's very important to have people like you to do that homework and to help us find the best herbs that have not been tainted in whatever way, be they, you know, crapped on. I mean, that's what people have to realize. A lot of these foreign countries like Mexico, why do you think the strawberries and other fruits have E. coli? Because they're using human sewage to fertilize them, people.
Right.
And I'm sure it's the same for the herbs.
Well,
and then you take a situation like that you know is going to cause a problem, and you use as an excuse to radiate them. It's total insanity.
Well, yeah, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense that, you know, we pay more for certified organic that hasn't been sprayed with a bunch of chemicals. You'd think that'd save the farmer the money, but no, we pay more for him not to do that.
Right.
So really, in the long run, if they get back to the organic farming method, they do have some crop loss in the beginning, but as it gets rolling, they have fewer crop losses because bugs are attracted to sick plants, because their job in the environment and our whole system here is to decompose. And so they are more attracted to sick plants than to healthy ones.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but getting back to our 9 question sheet, because we got 9 questions. Basically, avoid the overseas ingredients. Use your 9 question sheet to evaluate, you know, where they're getting their ingredients. You know, even the American companies, you know, they'll import them. And people will call up and ask me, you know, about this herb or that. And I go, well, that's not indigenous to the United States. And they go, so what? Well, and I tell them, you're kind of rolling the dice here. So it's real important. Packaging process, too, is important at the plant, because a lot of the products, once they get the herbs in there, they'll treat them with a lot of heat. And herbs are light sensitive. So they have a process to hasten the aging process, just like wineries will make wine, Dr. Carly, and they'll age the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you press grapes today, you got grape juice. You let it age, you got wine. And what a lot of the herbal companies, the big ones, will use what we call a forced extraction method. And they'll have these big vats. And they'll put their herb in the vat, and they'll put their catalyst, whether it's alcohol or glycerin or whatever it is they're using. And they'll put this glass dome, they'll crank that down on top of this steel drum, this vat, and then they'll use a lot of pressure. It's almost like pressure treating lumber. And what it does is it forces the plant nutrition, alkaloid nutrition, from the fibrous part of the plant, forcing it into the liquid, the catalyst. And they, with this process, will make an herbal liquid, a tincture, within a matter of hours. Put it in a bottle, label it, stick it in a box on the truck for delivery. Now, they don't do that with wine because heat ruins wine. Heat also ruins herbs. So what you're getting is a substandard product that you're really going to have to use 2 and 3 times more of that to get any benefit. So it's really not a big money saver for you, the end consumer, to use a product of that kind. And you just can't substitute that time of aging to allow the plant nutrition to permeate that catalyst. And it's just an incredible thing to put those two formulas, the one that was forced extracted, next to a product that was aged naturally and cold pressed. It is like night and day.
Okay, on those lines, I just want to sidefire you temporarily, because one of the most important things that you taught me was on this idea of standardized herbal formulas, because this is something that I had learned, and I thought how it was very important to get a standardized herbal formula. Please, enlighten our listeners as to what that's all about, because that was another misinformation that I had learned.
Right. The standardized formula will come from what we call the U.S. Pharmacopoeia. It's a formulary of herbal products, liquids. It's a couple hundred years old, actually. And that formulary was designed at a time we didn't have a lot of the mutating superbugs that we have now, and was also more designed along the lines of the essence of the plant and not really the full-bodied powered nutrition of a plant. So it's more of a distillation, and the power of the formula is like 10 times weaker than what I would recommend. So basically what you want to look for, and that's part of the 9-question sheet too, Dr. Carley, is you want to look at the herb to catalyst ratio in the formulas. Now, when you call up a company, you don't want their recipe. And that's not what you're interested in. What you're interested in is, do they have just as much herb product? Do they start with enough bulk herb to match the catalyst? And it almost has to be equal in order to make a really strong, potent, effective formula. Because what I know about companies out there is they'll take, let me give you a visual, take a gallon jug, that's 128 ounces. What they'll do is they'll fill that jug up a quarter of the way with their bulk herb. Let's say they want to use an immune booster like echinacea root. They'll take maybe a half a pound of that root and put it in this gallon jug. And then they'll take their catalyst, which is usually alcohol, and they'll pour that over the herb all the way up and fill the jug. So you got mostly alcohol now, and you got more alcohol than you do have herb.
You got herb wine.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, I call it, it's almost like, you'll when you finish with that and you make your tincture, you press it and you filter out the bulk herb and you strain out the fiber. What you have is sort of like, toilet water. You can just dab behind your ears. It's just a little color to it, not a whole lot. What you want are rich, dark formulas. And what we do at Apothecary Herbs, if we're going to use that gallon jug, we're going to fill it to the top with herbs and then cover it with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And what we'll get is we'll get less volume of a tincture, but the tincture that we get will be incredibly potent for you.
Right.
And the longer that you age these liquids, the more potent and strong they become.
Mm-hmm.
So what we tend to do is we have a minimum of a 30-day age, and then we cold press everything. We don't use any heat in the process. And a lot of our batches, we rotate and we keep them small, and that way, we keep them fresh. And when you make products like this where there's no heat and you cold press everything, you got a formula that's got a shelf life of like 10 to 15 years.
And actually, I've learned recently that's similar to the way they make Bach flower remedies, in terms of taking the essences of the flowers and putting them into the water. The alcohol is only used as a preservative, correct?
Yeah, the alcohol is a very good preservative. It's really a perfect preservative.
Right.
Some companies will use glycerin. If you're looking for glycerin herbal formulas, those aren't going to be as potent because glycerin is not as strong as alcohol at pulling all the alkaloids out of the plant.
Right.
So the alcohol, if you're not really crazy about having alcohol, some people for religious reasons or, you know, health reasons, they don't want any alcohol, there's an easy way to remove the alcohol.
You just put it in the air and let the alcohol just waft off, correct?
Well, what you can do is, you know, you want the potency of your product, and you don't want it to evaporate, all of your product to evaporate. And so what we recommend is you just take an ounce of water and you warm it to, a baby's bottle temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take your dose of herbal liquid and put it in the water so you don't actually heat your herbal liquid directly. And you put the dose of herbal liquid in the water, and you let it sit for 5 minutes, and the alcohol will evaporate out and leave the rest in the ounce of water, and then you just drink the water.
Great.
Yeah, so that's an easy way to do it.
So I just want to highlight and underline what you said, because there's a lot of people out there that have been brainwashed about this standardization process that actually this is extracting, the whole idea of that is to extract one particular part of the herb that's thought to be the healing part of the herb away from the herb. And what you're saying is, in essence, that God, the Creator, made the whole herb, and that the whole herb works together. And to extract that one piece out of the herb, you're actually interfering with the healing properties of the whole herb. Do I have that right?
You do.
Okay.
Because in your plant compounds, you'll have really strong chemical alkaloids, and then you'll have what we call the buffer alkaloids. And the buffers actually help your body metabolize the stronger chemicals
right.
properly. And this is where, you know, pharmaceuticals get into trouble because they can't patent Mother Nature. They'll extract just the alkaloids that they want to make their product, and they leave a lot of those buffers behind, and this is why you get side effects.
Well, not only that, they have to, in order to make them patentable, they have to put some chemical moiety onto what the Creator made to make it patentable. They actually add two.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's a little petroleum distillate, as you said. You know, the Rockefellers
mm-hmm.
have to get a piece of the action.
Right. Well, they did that with aspirin, actually.
Yeah.
That was extracted from willow bark, the salicin.
Uh-huh.
And the way the story goes, it was a German chemist. He was trying to find an anti-inflammatory for his arthritic aunt, and he knew salicin was an anti-inflammatory. So he kind of extracted that, and he messed with it and fractionalized it a little bit, and it became salicylic acid, and he played around some more. And in the end, he had acetylsalicylic acid, and that's what your aspirin is today. But we also know that aspirin will suppress the immune system. It lowers fever.
Well, I have to add a little something to that because for any of my clients that have been bought in, you know, they've actually made aspirin like a vitamin now. You know,
yeah.
Aspirin a day will keep the doctor away. They're trying to make anybody that's got any cardiac concerns take a baby aspirin.
Right.
So what I suggest to all my clients to do is take your aspirin, especially if it's manufactured by the Bayer Corporation, which is a remnant of the IG Farben Corporation, which helps produce the chemicals that killed all the, you know, people in the concentration camps in World War II.
Right.
But if you take the aspirin, put it in a spoon, and put a lighter underneath the spoon, and melt that puppy down, and you will find the remnants are coal tar. Coal tar, which is a carcinogen.
Mm-hmm.
That is the basis on which the aspirin is made.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And basically, you know, if you just want to thin the blood, I could tell you I would rather do the aspirin. I'd do garlic. It's a natural blood thinner.
Yeah.
And it's so effective that if you're taking medicinal amounts of garlic, like in a supplement, you definitely want to tell your surgeon if you need surgery because she'll bleed a little bit more. So.
Yeah, right. Tell your surgeon you're taking garlic and he'll say, so what? They have no clue. You know that one.
Well, you'll bleed. If your blood's thinner, it'll bleed more.
I know. Are there any other herbs that you know of that people can take that maybe need to anticoagulate for whatever reason, like if they have an artificial heart valve or something like that?
Well, there's a combination of herbs I like to use with the garlic, and you want to use hawthorn. Hawthorn's
mm-hmm.
very good at strengthening the cardiovascular system and specifically the heart muscle and all the tissues connected there. And what it does is that the flavonoids in that particular herb will also protect tissue if you have lack of oxygen, let's say if you had an attack. So until they revived you, that heart tissue will not be damaged if you're using hawthorn berries.
Wow.
And so it does protect the heart muscle from lack of oxygen and damage longer. So,
and do you have any products with hawthorn berries?
Yeah, we do have the hawthorn berries just straight, if you just want to use that. And then what we did is people usually got introduced to us through the organ cleansing, and after a while they'd call up and say, do you have anything for? And after we hear it enough, we make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a heart cholesterol blood pressure formula. It's kind of the Cadillac of cardiovascular formulas for the heart area. And it does help balance the blood pressure. All your circulatory herbs will do that. Your ginger root and your cayenne will help do that if you need to balance blood pressure. And we also like to put in some motherwort to kind of steady that heartbeat. So if you got a little bit of a defib or, you know, fluttering, you can use motherwort for that. And I should add that, you know, everybody has their own little therapeutic level that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
A standardized or average dose of the herbal liquids is going to be like a quarter of a teaspoon. But some people don't need quite so much, or some people need more. So that's the beauty of the liquids and the powders, is you can really adjust dose to find your necessary therapeutic level for yourself.
And there's actually something called muscle testing, which people can do to find their exact amount that they need to take. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but
yes.
And that's, you know, of course, complete quackery according to the medical mafia, but muscle testing is a way that you ask your own body what it needs, and your body will tell you, and you can actually ask the question, do I need a quarter teaspoon, do I need a half teaspoon, and then you test the dominant muscle group, and you see where you're the strongest, and that's what tells you what you need.
Well, that's incredible. You know, that kind of stuff just is so intriguing and interesting, and, you know, it sounds more plausible than a lot of these other more sophisticated tests I see them doing, but basically, Dr. Carley, if you hear, you know, that snake oil, when I hear that, I thank them, because it's really a compliment. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know the story of the snake oil?
No, I don't.
Well, basically, Samuel Thompson was an early pioneer here in the United States, and he had his little cart with his little herbal formulas that he learned from the American Indians, and one of his little things, he would come into town, and he would be selling his potions, his liquids, and he would allow himself to be bitten by a rattlesnake. And then he would take his formula and wouldn't get sick. And so this is where you get the term snake oil. And but basically he used echinacea root that the American Indians taught him, which battles snake bite. And he built up a tolerance to the venom, and that's basically it. If you use echinacea like the American Indians did, you can alleviate the poisonous effect of a snake bite.
Interesting how that got twisted, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is God bless the snake oil. You know?
I know. I tell you, it's incredible what God's plants can do.
Yes. Okay, well, you know, it's amazing how fast time flies. Please get back to your list of 9 things people need to know to, you know, get
avoid any formulas that have cooked ingredients. You were mentioning what they were doing overseas with the irradiation, and even crystallized ingredients also avoid, because, you know, those have been adulterated, in my opinion. And there's some people, you know, that think that, you know, they can use burnt or cooked herbal plant ingredients, put that in the formula, make it more potent. It isn't going to happen. Also, I even get so into it that I'll ask about the packaging of the product, because a lot of times they'll have all these machines and shrink wraps and stuff like that, and they have a long exposure to a lot of heat. Even on a conveyor belt, you can be next to a lot of that equipment, and that heat can singe your eyebrows, you know. So heat will definitely affect your product. So always ask about that as well when you're out there evaluating products. And you'll do a whole lot of good if you'll just stick to the 9 questions list, and you'll come home with something good. You'll be a savvy consumer about that.
And they can – wait, I just want to underline. They can get that 9 question list at your website. thepowerherbs.com, correct?
Yeah, if they click on the About Us page where you kind of learn about the company and stuff, it's a free download. They have it in Adobe and Word, so you can pick the format you like. But for those listeners that do not have Internet access, you could just call the toll-free number and request it, and that number is 866-229-3663. And that will be good. Also, don't get products with added flavorings. A lot of times they'll add a little flavoring to make it more palatable, but that tends to weaken the formula. So herbs, your medicinals are going to be bitter or hot or cool, like peppermint. And you can actually take these liquids, put them in anything like water or juice, anything room temperature or cold, just to make it more palatable, but without weakening the formula.
Well, a lot of these colorings and flavorings, I mean, I'll never forget, I went to a pharmacy once. I can't even remember why I went there. It was for something. I had to ask them for some information, but they had a big sign above the waiting area about how they could add all these flavorings to the children's, you know, prescriptions to make them more palatable.
Right.
And I asked them to please give me the information on the flavorings, and the pharmacist told me they couldn't because they didn't have it. And so, you know, a lot of these flavorings, God only knows what they have in there. I did a show with Betty Martini in regards to aspartame 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
There's so many things that they're creating that are actually so deleterious. And if you allow any of these things into your natural things, it's going to negate the benefits, if not totally override them with negatives.
Right. And a lot of those products have dyes, and there's
yeah.
a lot of kids out there that can't tolerate the dyes, and I totally agree. And I like people to, you know, get used to the taste of your bitter herbs, because you want to become a connoisseur of the herb, because then you'll know if the label, it says, you know, such and such an herb's in there, you really know if it's in there if you can't detect it by taste. In other words, like any of your echinacea formulas that are designed to stimulate immunity, to make, you know, more killer T cells and macrophages, really to shorten your duration of illness. Echinacea root, that's anything worth its salt, will numb your tongue if it's potent enough.
Mm-hmm.
And children mistake it for a hot or spicy taste.
Mm-hmm.
But any echinacea formulas out there are going to do that, numb your tongue just for, you know, a second or so, but you know it's a concentrated blend. Another herb, for instance, that I like to use for a whole slew of things, antispasmodic activity, dilate bronchial, diuretic, is lobelia. And lobelia has a signature taste. It's one of the bitter herbs, but it'll make your throat feel scratchy for just a moment, and then it goes away because it has a prickly kind of sensation on the back of your throat. And a lot of formulas will say they have it in there, but if you can't sense that, it's very watered down.
And our tongues have been totally corrupted as well, because there's four different types of taste buds on the tongue, and bitter is one of them. And because of all the sweetness that we've been addicted to with all these different products that we've been taking for years, it's like you get something a little bitter and you're like totally floored because it seems like so different than what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize that it's because those taste buds have not been used.
Right, and you know, I get people call me up and say, wow, that was hot, you know, because they picked a formula that had a circulatory herb in it, and it was necessary for what they wanted to accomplish. And when we put a cayenne pepper in the formula, we're not talking about the cayenne pepper that you can get on the grocery store shelf to put in your chili pepper, because that's pretty weak. You really need something a little more powerful, and we use the habaneros, and that has a really high Scoville heat index. And it really transports the other medicinal properties, the healing properties of the other herbs in the formula through the system quickly. And that's what you want. And I remember I had a guy who was a Vietnam veteran in Florida call me up to, you know, kind of just, you know, say, whoa, you know, this was like rocket fuel or whatever it is. And he was having a hard time with the heat of this product. And you know, we put in information on how you can minimize the hot taste, you know, like tomatoes have enzymes that cool the hot taste, so you can put it in your tomato juice, or you can use chilled fruit right afterwards. It's the same thing. The enzymes cool the hot
mm-hmm.
taste in the mouth. But he was just having a fit, and I said, well, you know, I've got you know,
I can't handle a little herb.
Well, I got a middle school and an elementary school child in that will take that, you know, and they don't complain.
Yeah.
And he goes, really? And I go, yeah. And he says, your kids take that. I said, mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I better just suck it up then.
Yeah, suck
it
up.
It was so funny. But, yeah, you could just about do anything. And there's little tricks to get it down, you know, kind of like the Mary Poppins thing. We won't use the sugar, but, you know, there's ways.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. But definitely use that herbal catalyst ratio when you're looking for potency. You want to see a 1-to-1 or a 1-to-2 catalyst herb ratio, and that will give you an idea as to how strong it is. If it, you know, if those numbers are too far apart, you know you're getting a really weak formula.
Okay.
Keep going. Yeah, well, and a lot of people think that, you know, they have to have a tincture that's usually an alcohol catalyst product. They have to have, you know, it made with like Everclear, 100% or something for it to do anything. Not really necessary. Most herbal formulas can be made very easily with 80 proof vodka.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm out of the Power Herbs book right now, but in my book, The Power Herbs, I actually showed people if they wanted to make their own tinctures, because I feel like, you know, if you're going to be that proactive, go for it. And I just told them, use 80 proof vodka. It's quite efficient. The 100 proof stuff is usually for a lot of the woodsy barks and resins that we need to break down a little bit more. But for the average stuff like your echinacea root and some other things, 80 proof is fine.
Actually, that's very interesting, because the same thing is used to make your own homeopathic remedies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you can use to make your own homeopathic remedy for detox is your own urine.
I've heard that.
Yeah, you can actually take your own urine and make a tincture out of that using 80-proof vodka. Now, I can't even handle this. I, for a couple of, you know, days, drank my own urine in the morning. This is a way to detox yourself of the toxins that you're exposed to, but I preferred other ways. So, but that is a way that you can go. You can make a detox formula out of your own urine.
Well, and I've heard of urine therapy, and for anybody out there wrinkling their nose going, ew, I want to ask them, have you ever taken a B-complex vitamin? And most of you out there have. You've picked them up, I don't know, GNC, Walmart, wherever you go. And have you ever noticed, Dr. Carly, when you open those up, they really do stink?
Yeah.
As well, do you know where these supplement manufacturers get their Bs?
No.
Human waste.
Oh.
Because the bowel produces a lot of B vitamins.
Okay.
So they really get a lot of human waste, and they clean it up chemically, and they make their little product there.
Uh-huh.
And so people are amazed to learn that.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you'd be amazed what they do out there in the laboratory. Of course, you already know about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, but see, the thing of it is, it's, you know, people have to get over this idea that their human waste is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if you have an infection and if you've been exposed to E. coli, especially the genetically engineered versions and things of that nature, there's going to be a problem. But first of all, urine is sterile. Unless you have a urinary tract infection, your urine is sterile. And the bowel is filled with all kinds of normal bacteriological flora, which is there to keep us alive. If you did not have those things, you would not be able to digest your food.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these things have been corrupted. You know, they talk about E. coli tainted, you know, hamburgers at Wendy's or whatever. You know, this is another, it's another version of E. coli. They're playing around with these bacteria in laboratories, and this is how they're creating the bad versions. But normally, your gut is full of this stuff. And so, yes, you can take these different things and make supplements out of them. I did not know that's how they got B vitamins. I'm always learning. I love to learn. And
yeah, but they do run it through a process,
mm-hmm.
you know, a sterilization process. And specifically what that process is and what chemicals they use, I have it written down somewhere, but I don't have it with me. But, you know, that's probably, you know, again, it's the process. What are they doing? Same thing with your herbal ingredients, that you can start with a great quality herb, but, you know, what do they do to it after that?
Right.
So, you know, we need to ask these questions of quality control whenever you evaluate supplements out there. And, you know, ask them, you know, like, who, you're making herbal products, you know, like, who's formulating those things?
Right.
You know, is it, you know, a chemist? Is it, you know, somebody who just went to the library and pulled out some, you know, herb? Is just following the, you know, U.S. Pharmacopoeia? Does this person have any background, any practical experience with herbs? You know, that's my question. Has this person rolled up their sleeves and actually, you know, worked with these herbs? Worked with them to see them actually operate and work in the body and this and that and have some experience? Most of them don't. Most of them don't. And I'm really afraid to see a transition in the herbal industry kind of move into that harmonization area.
Where you're talking about Codex there. And
yeah, well, the FDA is trying to push through. I was a little encouraged just yesterday to learn that the FDA's had some sort of cutbacks on the budget, and they don't have enough agents.
Really?
So I was a little encouraged there. Because they really are striving hard to take the herbal supplements and change them from a food category to a drug category,
Therefore
allowing only the pharmaceuticals to make them for you. And that's my greatest fear, because I don't think you're going to be getting the real deal when that occurs.
Well, do not be filled with fear, because I know in my heart, you see, if they proceed with this atrocity called Codex, where they're going to try to make all natural supplements, homeopathy, herbs, etc., a prescription item, and of course they're taking away the license of doctors who are suggesting those natural supplements, that's what's going to be the final thing that wakes people up. And I do send out with all my consults a show that I did on Codex on another station some time ago. But people do not have to be afraid, because they are basically exposing themselves. And I loved the term that Betty Martini used for the FDA, fatal drugs allowed. Yes, they're allowing Celebrex and Vioxx and silicone breast transplants and Avandia and all these toxic poisons that are killing you. They're allowing those things onto the market, but they're going to say that actually even not just the supplements, but foods themselves. Like you talked about cayenne pepper.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best thing you have in your cupboard that could help you with so many different kinds of problems. But pretty soon they're going to try to make cayenne pepper a health-related controlled thing.
Yeah, the capsicum. Yeah, try to get some decent salsa after that happens, huh?
Well, that's what's going to wake up the sheep, Wendy. And, and that I know for sure. And the people that listen to this show are already... They've already taken the red pill. If you saw the Matrix movie,
Yeah. They
already took the red pill. They already know. So we're actually out of time. I want to thank you so much for an excellent show.
My pleasure.
I want to recommend all of you go to thepowerherbs.com and order some of Wendy's wonderful detoxification herbal protocols and other herbs that she suggests. She's the one that I turn to when I need to know about herbs. She also has shows on AVR and GCN, where I'm a guest every month, and on the shortwave station that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and you're going to be there this Saturday, too.
Yes, and I do want to encourage all of you. See, don't believe anything we say. Check things out for yourself, folks.
Right.
You've been lied to about everything. And Wendy, just like me, got into what she's doing because her own child was sick and there was nothing the white coats could do. And that is a path that's a divine path that wakes you up to a way you never wanted to be waking up to. But once you're waking up, you have to do what you have to do. So once all of you get on the same program, check things out for yourself, make yourselves well. There's natural things out there that can reverse any problems. Of course, we do not practice medicine. We have to give the disclaimer that none of these things are used to diagnose or treat anything. But they will reverse your problem. It's funny how that all works out. So thank you so much, Wendy, for being on the show. I'm sending
Welcome.
You a big hug. I hope to meet you one day. You're right here in North Carolina. I want to come and see what you do over there in North Carolina where you live. And now let's keep this biowarfare lab out of this county and out of this state.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Okay. I enjoyed it, too, and I so much respect what you do. You are a master at what you do.
Well, so are you.
Okay.
Well,
all
until
right.
Next time, be well.
Okay, same to you. Good night.
Bye-bye.